You're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisop. Today, we're bringing back a popular format. You know it, you love it. It's the TMZ Illuminate Confirmed Show. That's right. This is where, you know, and I should explain what the TMZ Illuminate Confirmed means. It was an evolution for me. But today, we're going to talk about, we're gonna do the TMZ Illuminate Confirmed Show. It's a new year, and it's off to a red hot fiery start. Okay, today we're going to reveal some new findings in the Aaron Carter story. The family suffered another death, and it's from the bathtub. Wait till we get there. You're not going to believe it. We're going to look at the adrenochrome gold juice from Taryn Manning, which both of those stories, granted, a little old, but I've got excuses. Stand by for those excuses. But we're going to look at the gold juice theory of Taryn Manning, alchemy, Twin Peaks, Da Vinci Code, Heroes, Gamos, all these things, right? And then finally, there's some news. Your boy's already been proven wrong. You know, I made some predictions last week, 2 weeks ago, I don't know when it was, on the wrap-up show for 2023. Every year I do my predictions, and then we go over those previous year's predictions, and it's shaky for me, maybe 50%, depends on how overzealous and overinterpretive you want to be. But I'm already 0-1 on my 2024 predictions. I predicted that the Epstein documents would never drop, and they released January 3rd. So, hey, you know what? At least I'm honest with you, right? So we've got, and then also before we're done, we're going to talk about Saltburn. I got a very quick update for you about the movie Saltburn from this book, Kenneth Grant's Outside the Circles of Time. You can see all my little page stickies. You know, that's what I've been reading. It's a painful read, very difficult to understand. And I'm going to, you know, spoiler alert, I don't know that I understand the thing I'm going to tell you about Saltburn, but I found some symbolism in this book that is kind of mind-blowing that it's in Saltburn. So we'll talk about that at the end. All right? Let's go. The TMZ. Let me take 1 minute. If you're new to my show, my story, back in 2011, I started blogging. And I was very much into blogging. I would write articles all the time. And it was very exciting for me. Then Google Shadow banned me, and then I got sued, and all these things happened. And so blogging is no more. But I used to do a thing on, I used to call it the Illuminati Roundup. And I would, you know, go through a bunch of variety of stories that weren't really worth a deep dive on their own, but they were kind of little bite-sized segments of different celebrities and things. And then it became more of a, I think we then called it TMZ Roundup. And then it became, you know, all these variations. And then now that I do the podcast, I do the same format, but I do it on a podcast. I just call it TMZ. So if you're new to it and you're like, why has he put TMZ at the front of this? It's more of a reference as to what kind of format this show is going to be. Because sometimes I do a deep dive. Sometimes I do a film analysis. Today's a TMZ Illuminate Confirmed show. We're going to do a few bite-sized. So let's go. The first one. That old tricky bathtub, you know? We're going to read from page 6. On December 23rd of 2023, during the pagan holiday of Saturnalia, which is that sort of week-long period there, right after the winter solstice, the Carter family suffered another loss. You know, we did a whole show about Aaron Carter and how he mysteriously died in the bathtub. They say it was a drug overdose. We did a whole show on it when it happened, all right? So please, and in fact, let me put a reminder. I'll put a link in the show notes for you in case you haven't heard it, because it was actually a pretty good one. But listen to this. He's got a couple brothers and sisters, right? Well, his sister died. You know, what was that, a year later? Because I think Aaron Carter died in... It was in 2022 in November, I think, or October. November, yeah. So about a year later, his sister died. I'm going to read you from page 6. Bobby Jean Carter was found unresponsive in her bathroom the day she died, just like her late brother, Aaron Carter. The Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office in Florida confirmed to Page Six Wednesday that first responders were dispatched in Bobby Jean's Tampa home Saturday morning, where they discovered her lifeless body. She was then rushed to St. Joseph's Hospital, where she was pronounced dead. The 41-year-old was on probation following her June arrest for retail theft and drug possession, at which time she was found with a container of fentanyl. But according to authorities, her roommates insisted she had not used drugs since her release from prison. Additionally, investigators said they did not find any narcotics or paraphernalia in Bobby Jean's bathroom or bedroom. Though foul play is not suspected at this time, her death is still under investigation. Quote, I am in shock from learning of the sudden death of my daughter, Bobby Jean, and I will need time to process the terrible reality of this happening for the third time, Jane said. That's the mom. Referring to the deaths of son Aaron and daughter Leslie Carter. Aaron passed away last November under eerily similar circumstances. The pop star was found dead in his bathtub in Lancaster, California. He died from drowning and the effects of difluoroethane, a flammable gas, and alprazolam, a generic form of Xanax. He was 34. Meanwhile, Leslie died of a drug overdose in January of 2012. She was 25. Now, what's going on with this family? I don't know much about the family. I think they had a TV show, didn't they? A reality show. I didn't care then. I don't care now. You know, I'm not trying to be callous or mean. I'm just saying, like, I just never caught on to the Aaron Carter, Backstreet Boys, Nick Carter bandwagon. I've never been interested in it. Although I did watch the Aaron Carter interviews when he went on No Jumper, because those were entertaining. But Nick, you know, Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys, he was the first one that was famous. And he's got all these allegations, people coming after him for sexual assault allegations, including an underage girl. In fact, just a few months ago, there was a girl who was 15 at the time, said back in 2003 that Nick was doing things, allegedly. So we have Nick, who's got something going on. We don't know. Maybe. Then we got Aaron Carter, who died in the bathtub. Now his sister, Bobby Jean Carter, died in the bathtub. But wait, it gets weirder. Because I looked up the other sister, because I didn't know he had another sister that died. Leslie Carter, she died in 2012, 25 years old. She was a pop singer. She had a single on the Shrek soundtrack called Like Wow. And she suffered from depression and mental illness. That's why you got to stay on top of it, folks. You got to stay on top of that stuff. It's not easy. I know. I know. Trust me. But Aaron apparently claimed Leslie raped him from the ages of 10 to 13. Anyway. But get this. She also died in a bathtub. Can you believe it? What are the odds? I'm going to read you from Wikipedia. On January 31, 2012, at age 25, Carter, who had complained of feeling ill after falling in the shower, was found unresponsive at the home of Robert and her stepmother, Ginger Elrod Carter, in Mayville, New York, while she was visiting them. Leslie had fallen asleep after she fell in the shower and did not wake up. While not attributing a cause of death, the police incident report and supplemental overdose follow-up report said Carter had an overdose and was taking prescription medications. Oh boy. Zyprexa, some muscle relaxant, and Xanax. So now, it says she died in the shower, not the bathtub. But, I mean, pretty close, right? Pretty close. And it depends on what kind of shower we're talking about. Are we talking about like a stand-up with the glass walls? Or are we talking about the kind that has the bathtub incorporated in it? That would be the bathtub then. I don't know what's going on with this family. Because, you know, the bathtub, we talked about this many times over the years. I'll just refer to you to the easiest example if you're new. Whitney Houston and Bobby Christina, mother and daughter, both died in the bathtub, both very mysteriously. The daughter had told everyone that she was terrified of bathtubs, and they were kind of questioning why she would even be in a bathtub. Foul play involved, maybe. Or is it the Illuminati? Is it an occult ritual to have the passage of the moon goddess to pass through? the cleansing ritual, the mikvah of the Kabbalistic bathtub. Because there is an occult connection to the cleansing ritual before passing over into another dimension from life to death. Did this family, I mean, they've got quite the track record here. Did they make a Faustian bargain or something? I don't know. I don't follow any of these artists at all. But I did Google around. Aaron Carter had a song I found called City of Dreams from his final album that was released 2 days after he died. It was actually supposed to be released some period later on his 35th birthday. But you know how it goes? When people die, the streams go through the roof. So the record company was probably trying to cash in on that. So they were like, let's hurry up and drop it, right? But listen to the song lyrics of City of Dreams from Aaron Carter. All alone in the city of dreams, looking for the crossroads, ready to sell my soul. Look, please forgive me. You got me repenting. I know I didn't mean it. I got a life sentence. I just wanted fame to be a part of the game. Man, I was young and I didn't know a thing. Well, isn't that something? Because the crossroads is where Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil to learn to play guitar. That's where the first sort of pop culture musical references to selling one's soul for fame and fortune and musical abilities. And Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin went there and took some dirt in a jar because it's, you know, these people believe in this stuff. Now, what's more interesting is that Wikipedia says this album was actually removed from all streaming platforms a month later because it was released without the family's management's permission. And I looked on my, I've got the Amazon, I do Amazon Music, and I got to get off there. I got to switch over to Spotify. I'm just trying to find the right app to transfer playlists. You know what I mean? But it's not on Amazon Music, so it is interesting that they still don't have it released. Isn't that odd? All right, so there's some bathtub Aaron Carter drama. Moving on to Gold Juice. Many people sent me this, but my wife Josie, I'm training her well, folks. Like, she's going from normie to full red pill action. She sent it to me on TikTok. This is months ago, by the way. I think it was last summer, wasn't it? It was in my notes. I've just been busy with stuff, right? Taryn Manning, she's an actress, and she was on Netflix's Orange is the New Black. She was on Sons of Anarchy and 8 Mile, and even Britney Spears' film Crossroads. There's that Crossroads again, right? And a bunch of movies and TV. She's a singer, you know, very famous lady, right? Well, she was on Whitney Cummings. She's a comedian, and she runs a podcast. And she talked about this mysterious substance being offered to celebrities for fame and fortune. I'm going to play the clip. Take a listen.
Say that. Like, do you think there's a level of fame that is just too dangerous for a
Yeah, turkey? If you don't drink the Kool-Aid, you don't drink the gold juice. So I was offered the gold juice 3 times in my 20s, my 30s, and
What's
my 40s.
That? P? A lot of golden showers in
the
Burbank.
Gold juice that I will live forever and I'll have whatever I want. The gold juice. You never offer the gold juice?
No, I'm a scumbag comic. What's the gold juice?
I don't know, but I didn't drink it and I didn't want it. And
is this in
I
a?
I noticed when all the girls, certain girls on Orange, changed. Yeah, it's a real thing. It's like a real thing. Like, it's all a real thing, and it's scary because they send like people after you and they can like kind of moonlight as like a friend or, you know, and they're wolf in sheep's clothing. And listen, you can have everything you want, all the fame in the world, all the money. I'm like, what if I just drank it? But then I, you know what I mean? Like, what if I, and I don't know what it is. It's, if it's a metaphor for the gold juice, like, you feel what I'm saying?
Mostly.
And
if there's a tincture that makes you younger, I better know where you better let me in on this. If adrenochrome's real, I'll be first
in line.
Well,
apparently you can put, you know, some of the women put like some type of like baby's foreskin on their face.
Sure. Why do you think I'm having a kid? I want to be a mother.
Wow.
You're insane. Okay. Kevin Spacey already called dibs on this. He just wired me $2 million to my PayPal.
That's all.
She said she was offered the gold juice 3 times. Don't they say something about, isn't that in the Bible? They deny, who's the guy that denies Christ 3 times, or the crow calls 3 times or something? Judas? Is it Judas? No, it wasn't Judas. Who was it? Anyway, you know, Peter? Let's check it out. Deny Christ 3 times. Yeah, man, I'm good. Look at me. Got my Christian warrior badge for the day. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny 3 times that you know me. So that's interesting. Anyway, she said she was offered it 3 times. She was told, you're going to live forever. You can have anything you want. She asserts it's a real deal, a real thing. They send people after you. But she's not sure if it's a metaphor or what they're talking about. And then Whitney Cummings even offers up the idea that, you're talking about adrenochrome? Because that's how pop culture conspiracies have gotten. And that's the sort of the claim that a lot of people stood by, was that's Hollywood's adrenochrome. They call it the gold juice. Now, is that what she's talking about? Well, I don't know. But Paranoid American, who I'm going to get on the show this year, we're going to get together. And he's got this whole book on adrenochrome that we're going to talk about. Because he dug deep into the realm of adrenochrome, and he said there's a substance called adrenalutin that is actually more potent and is described as greeny gold. And he retrieved that from a 1959 journal called A Small Research in Schizophrenia. Now, the gold is an interesting thing because, you know, we focus here on occult symbolism and practices like alchemy. And in alchemy, it's the goal to go from lead to gold, right? The transmutation of metals. So gold is the ultimate end goal. And they call it the philosopher's stone. It means to achieve immortality, right? The full personal transmutation, turning from the black Negredo crow into the fiery red phoenix, reborn. And it's represented oftentimes in alchemy artwork as the sun with the rays, or the lion with the mane of hair, that kind of thing. And what was really interesting is that Carl Jung got into this. He saw it as a union of opposing forces, this union of opposing forces, or the divine, you know. And when they say the divine, they're talking about God, which isn't, you know, the Holy Trinity God. It's like their God. And he refers to it as a sacred marriage, like in the sex magic ritual called Hieros Gamos. And Carl Jung was reading about alchemy and its symbols. And he realized that his patients would see these same symbols in their dreams and visions. And they would tell crazy Carl about the symbols, right? And particularly during the process of individuation. And one image that would come up during the individuation process is that of gold, which is the symbolic goal, right? Let me read you from, and I'm going to try to explain some of these things a little bit more, like individuation and that. There's a website, counselinginzurich.com. There's an article I'm going to read you from. It says, for Carl Jung, the complete personality we seek is the precious treasure hidden within each person's psyche. He dedicated his life to the idea that we all have this inner gold, and that recognizing this fact is transformative. This concept often appears in mythology and religious symbolism as a precious object that grants immortality or profound wisdom, altering the seeker's awareness forever. And what we're referring to in individuation is, because individuation is very similar to the alchemy transmutation process. Jung's process is called individuation. They're both about a person coming into their wholeness as a human being when they're opposing, forces is the right word, when their opposing attributes are brought together along with the micro and the macro. Don't ask me literally what all this means. It's very abstract, kind of, right? They oftentimes refer to it as the sacred marriage of spirit and matter. And that's the sort of the symbolic goal is the marriage of spirit and matter. The more literal interpretation would be the hero's gamos ritual, which is basically sex magic used to symbolize this exact process, where two initiates come together and they represent the opposing forces of male and female, because male represents the conscious, female represents the unconscious. So, you know, the whole idea is to facilitate this process of evolving somehow, right? And deeper yet, there's an idea that this same union can be not just between man and woman and these opposing polarities, but between man or woman and God, connecting to the divine, which if you read Lords of the Left-Hand Path, that's what a lot of these concepts are for. It's all about making contact or realizing that you have the divine within you and you are God in some way. You're permanently connected in there. But it's very interesting. She called it the gold juice. And you also see gold in Twin Peaks, the golden orbs. That's you see that in, I think, all three seasons. You'll see examples of that. And it's always in the sort of ethereal realm of the Red Room and stuff like that. And in Da Vinci Code, there's, I believe the character witnesses the Hieros Gamos sex magic ritual from the Priory of Sion. Wasn't it like a young girl and her grandfather was in the, I'm trying to remember, it's been a long time. It was in the Priory of Sion or something like that. Anyway. So is Taryn Manning talking about adrenochrome? I don't know. Or maybe just people use metaphors for this and she didn't understand it and that was her interpretation. That's kind of what I think could be, right? Because a lot of these Hollywood types, they're into these kind of woo-woo-y occult subjects. That doesn't mean they're drinking baby blood necessarily, but I mean, you can't count that out. I mean, I believe that kind of stuff could happen for sure. All right, moving on. We got everyone's favorite topic. The hot topic, if you will. The Epstein client list. And like I already said, I'm 0 for 1. 0 for 1 for my predictions for 2024. Can you believe it? I never professed to be a good prophet. So you shouldn't listen to me for predictions. But the list, you know, it dropped on January 3rd, which originally they said the 1st. Then News Nation said it was the 22nd. But it dropped on the 3rd, apparently, right? And you're probably wondering, well, Isaac, did you download it? No, I actually did not. The website crashes constantly. You can find it. Wasn't like the Court Listener or something? I found it on Twitter. People were retweeting the link. It keeps crashing. But, you know, I've been on there a good amount, kind of snooping around. There's hundreds of files. It's like 10 pages of files. And you'd have to sort of download each one. It's pretty cumbersome looking. Now, that doesn't mean I won't take some time to dig through it once I hear a little bit more, but I have not gone through every page. I mean, it's an absurd amount of documents. And what's odd to me is that, you know, every alternative media source and conspiracy, truth or red pill organization, the only thing I could guess is that they're doing keyword searches for their political enemies and then, you know, trying to craft a narrative of what they think's going on. You know, like for instance, the big one is Clinton's in there a lot, and we're going to talk about Clinton. And you know, Trump, and that's the whole thing. It's like Trump and Clinton were both buddies with Epstein, but the Trumper people, like the red pill MAGA Trump lover people, they refuse to think that. They think, oh well, he was the white hat. You know, Trump was trying to expose Epstein. I mean, but it's like, well, you could argue that for Clinton, couldn't you? I don't know. I don't get into the politics of things because I think politics ultimately comes down to a subjective truth, and you point to your own news, right? Like I could sit here and tell you, you know, no, Trump's a great guy. Look, I read it on yourredpillnews.com right here. It says that he was trying to expose Epstein. You see that? You know, like it's a fruitless effort. You could do it all day. But it's funny to me because right off the bat, you know, thousands of pages of documents and links and stuff, and immediately all these supposed news websites on Twitter are posting about how, look, Trump's exonerated. Look, Clinton likes little girls. And then that actually is in there, and I'm going to read that to you. But, you know, just tread carefully with this stuff. I think there's a lot of people that are overzealous to try to defend their worldview or their political bias. And, you know, they're not being too open-minded about things. Like, one idea that I saw was that, because Aaron Rodgers, the football player, was calling out Jimmy Kimmel saying he was going to be on the list. And if you go to the document drop search bar and you type in Kimmel, it shows up. And some people at first were like, whoa, look, Aaron Rodgers is right. Kimmel is messing with kids on Epstein Island. But if you dig into it, at least from what I could tell, and I'm no journalist, but when you dig into it, like what they're pointing to is articles on Daily Mail that includes Kimmel's name on the article. And it's not the same thing as, yes, Jimmy Kimmel was on the plane and he was definitely messing around with kids. Like that's two different things. But some overzealous people, they jump on it like, see, look. And look, I don't like Jimmy Kimmel. I hope his name is on the thing, because I don't think he's funny. But anyway, just be careful with who you're listening to on this stuff. And you might want to fact check it. So House and Habit, Jessica Reed Krause, I follow her. She's doing a good job. She posted some of the images of the documents of where she got her information from on her Instagram and things like that. So more to come for sure, right? But let's go through some of the things, because there's a slew of names out there. You know, we already know the familiar subjects. You got Jean-Luc Brunel, who also didn't kill himself in prison. Of course, you've got Trump, you've got Clinton, you've got Dershowitz, and all these stuff, right? There's some newer names that I didn't know were connected. And I'm going to read you from where... This is the one document I did peruse through. It was a deposition of Johanna Jorberg, May 18th, 2016. And she testified to these things because she was apparently, you know, part of this thing. The first name, David Copperfield, the magician. That's right. The famous David Copperfield, which you would think a famous good-looking magician guy. Why is he got to mess around with little kids? I don't know. And I don't know if that's what this means, right? And I'll emphasize that at the end again. Like, just because these names are on here, just because they're hanging out with Epstein, just because they like good-looking younger girls, that doesn't mean they're guilty of these things. You know, what if and I'm not trying to defend these creeps, but what what if Copperfield was like, no, I meant like a 25-year-old girl. Well, that's legal. Leo does it all the time. And you know I love Leo DiCaprio. So what? They're adults. They're consenting adults. So I just want to be very clear that there's big allegedlys in front of all this stuff, because I'm not trying to get hung up on none of this stuff right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to read you from the document, and then you come to your own conclusion. David Copperfield was at a dinner at Epstein's, and there was another girl present who looked young. And Johanna asked what school she went to, and Johanna did not recognize the school name as being a college, and she said it was possible it was a high school-aged girl. Johanna said Copperfield, quote, questioned me if I was aware that girls were getting paid to find other girls. So what does that mean? I don't know. I mean, maybe Copperfield was going to expose it. I mean, you could apply that Trump logic to this. Like, maybe he was investigating. He was like, dude, this isn't cool, man. What are you doing with these little kids? A billionaire named Thomas Pritzker shows up. He's the billionaire heir for the Pritzker family and executive chairman of Hyatt. His family, Jay Pritzker, founded Hyatt. And these are, you know... This Pritzker family is in the top 10 America's wealthiest families. This is akin to the Prince Andrew thing, right? says here, court files released show a deposition filed by Virginia Giuffre. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This was read from Wikipedia. It linked to, the citation links to Exhibit D, but I couldn't find this doing a Control F search. I'm going to assume it's true. I don't know, though. Said on Wikipedia, court files released show a deposition filed by Virginia Giuffre states that she was lent to him, Thomas Pritzker, while she was sexually trafficked through the Jeffrey Epstein network. She testified in a deposition under oath that she had sex with him once. So that's a pretty big to do, right? I mean, the top 10 richest families in America? That's kind of like Armie Hammer, right? Remember that whole controversy? Next, a hairstylist, Frederick Fikai. On Wiki, it says he styled hair of many prominent women: Kim Basinger, Jessica Lange, Sigourney Weaver, Claudia Schiffer, Deborah Messing, Renee Zellweger, and Hillary Clinton. Said Johanna, referring back to the Johanna Zorberg testimony, Johanna testified she heard Jeffrey call someone to try to find girls in Hawaii to send over the Frederick Fikai. I think that's a typo. It's supposed to be two. Send over two Frederick Fikai. And you know what that made me think of? You remember the Pizzagate emails that were supposedly debunked? Wasn't Obama talking about how we needed a hot tub full of hot dogs or something weird like that in Hawaii? Remember that? Or maybe it's Podesta. I don't remember. So there's another pretty big name, apparently, allegedly, right? And then the big dog, Bill Clinton. Oh man, he kind of took the biggest hit on the chin here. I think this is the same deposition document. It says the question by Miss McCauley. Let me back up. Do you know if Bill Clinton was a friend of Jeffrey Epstein? The answer: I knew he had dealings with Bill Clinton. I did not know they were friends until I read the Vanity Fair article about them going to Africa together. Did Jeffrey ever talk to you about Bill Clinton? Answer: he said one time that Clinton likes them young, referring to girls. I mean, I don't know if that's the same as my Leo DiCaprio argument. I mean, Bill, come on, buddy. That don't sound good. I'm sure there's a ton more out there. In fact, I read, let me pull it up, because this is all late breaking, folks. We're going to go to Alex Jones, InfoWars. They're talking about, Alex tweeted an exoneration of Trump. Where is it here? Here we go. Alex Jones said, we always knew Trump was not part of the Epstein operation. 45 was never in the Democrat pedo cult. That's why the deep state hates him with all their heart. He's not in their disgusting club. That's more change in the Alex Jones was right jar. And he doesn't tell you where. He links to a thing called Leading Report. It just says leading source for breaking news. And a lot of these Twitter news things that have, I mean, hundreds of thousands of followers, if you follow the trail, you'll never find out who they actually are. And it makes me think these are sort of like Russian Chinese disinformation agents or something. Who knows? But whatever, right? It doesn't mean they're wrong, but I mean, if you're going to question mainstream media or question news sources, you got to question all of them. You know what I mean? So I don't know where exactly this came from. I do believe this actually came from one of these documents. Someone asked someone, did you ever see Donald Trump at Jeffrey's home? Not that I can remember. On his island? No, not that I can remember. In New Mexico? No, not that I can remember. In New York? Not that I can remember. All right, if you could turn to the second page and read through those, let me know if... Okay, that's where it ends. And then another one just says, by Miss Menninger? Question. Marvin Minsky? Answer. I don't know that. George Lucas? No. Donald Trump? No. Did you ever massage Donald Trump? No. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's proof that he's the great guy. I have no idea. In fact, I'm going to put a link to, because like I said, I haven't gone through all these pages. I'm going to put a link in the show notes. You can check it out for yourself. The court listener link. It's Alex Jones. I retweeted. So did Alex Jones. But yeah, interesting. And boy, are things heating up. And Alex Jones says that what no one's talking about here is that there's thousands of hours of video not being released. I don't know. Like, I don't want to read 1,000 pages and I don't want to watch thousands of hours of video of Epstein. But I mean, I guess the argument is that maybe there's some, you know, I don't know, footage of Bill Clinton stooping a teenager. I don't know. I don't know what he's saying with that. But boy, oh boy, are things getting real crazy already. And we're only in January, folks. We're only in January. But I thought Alex Jones, looks like he's sort of saying Trump's vindicated and he's supporting him. Grant, I thought he had said he felt like he was used by Trump, like not too long ago. But I don't follow Jones like that, so I don't know. But I am now that he's back on Twitter, which is great. But this is quite the saga. Quite the saga. It's going to be quite a year, folks. We're off to a wild start. And it's only going to get hotter. The presidential election's coming up, which apparently we're getting the same two old dudes that we had last time that nobody really wants. They shrug, you know, the DNC and the Republicans, they all just shrug their shoulders like, I don't know, it's kind of the best we can do. I mean, at least the Republicans are doing some debates. I mean, no one cares for any of these candidates. But like the Democrats, it's like, bro, like run someone else. Get behind RFK or something. Anything. Like nobody wants this dude, man. Nobody wants Trump, nobody wants Biden. Well, some people do on both sides, but I mean, come on, these aren't popular options. Nobody wants to go back to 2020. Frustrating, right? And we'll see what happens, right? Because now that this bombshell dropped of this document, and lots of people are having different opinions about this document. They say, look, this is all coordinated to keep things confusing, to keep us fighting, and to keep our eye off of what's really going on, and, you know, make it really difficult to understand what was really happening with that network. But we'll see what happens, right? We'll see. And also, by the way, I think RFK, we talk about RFK, wasn't he also hanging out with Epstein? Everyone's hanging out with Epstein. But I think Jessica Reed Krause, I think, posted about how he had, he also was defended from this stuff. Like apparently he was on the plane, but he had his wife and kids with him, which actually, you know, like, okay, that makes sense. Like, you're obviously not up to anything wrong there, but you're still hanging out with Epstein, which is a little sus. But the point is like, this is all very cryptic and confusing, isn't it? We don't really know who to trust. But one thing that is a fact that comes out of this is everyone's connected. All these people are connected. And this goes back to the David Icke theory that we've been talking about for 20 years since he was pushing his ideas on the Freedom Road VHS cassette tape that red-pilled me. Is that the two-party system, like all these systems of electing officials, it's all an illusion. They're all in it together. Now, I'm not saying don't vote. Like, I support voting, but the options they give us are all, like, pre-selected. And it's like, man, I feel like they almost need to get rid of the Electoral College. I don't feel like they should. I know they should. They should get rid of the Electoral College, but it's in the Constitution. And, of course, no one wants to change anything because they've already got control, right? You need a populist vote, right? Every one vote for one person. Count them up. But, you know, till then, we're just going to be fighting about stuff. So, you know, and this year I'm going to try to do some shows that we're going to try to do some self-empowerment, some self-embetterment, because I want to get our minds right this year. You know what I mean? Sometimes the conspiracy world can go real black pill. We all felt it in the election of 2020. And I don't want to go down that path again. I really don't. I want to try to be a source of light and fun and keep things light, which I know we've talked about Epstein lists and gold juice and bathtub sacrifices. But, you know, like, I don't know. People always say, like, how do you keep from, how do you keep from staying up all night worrying about this? And it's like, I just don't. I worry about what's in my little sphere and try to, you know, it's hard enough to stay positive. So, I don't know. I'm going to try to find a way to bring out some guests, maybe introduce some ideas. Maybe we'll do some book clubs on some positive books. Something like that, because it's like, man, all this stuff got so dark since Trump, and it's not Trump's fault, but I'm saying, like, since 2016, things have gotten really weird. Things have gotten really divisive. Okay, so stay subscribed, folks. We got lots of bangers coming your way this year. The next couple shows, we're going to do Miley Cyrus Sex Cult. I've got a guest coming on to break down John D. It's a 2-hour mega banger show that you can't miss. And then the supporter feeds, where Twin Peaks is on and popping. I'm probably gonna pick up the tempo now. I kind of got a bunch of episodes sort of stockpiled because we were doing one every 2 weeks. I might start one a week or something like that. I don't know. And they're doing a Twin Peaks day up in Snoqualmie, I think, in February of 24. So check into that. But I might be increasing the tempo on there to keep things moving for Twin Peaks for the supporter feeds. Also, on the supporter feeds, almost forgot. Quick salt burn update, real quick. I'm going to read you a section from Kenneth Grant's book and tell me if this doesn't resonate, if you've seen the movie. And don't worry if you haven't. I'm not going to spoil the plot. But we did a bonus show for the month of January, a film analysis of Saltburn, this controversial movie everyone's talking about. I'm going to read you from this paragraph, and if you know, you know, is kind of what we're going to say here, okay? And don't ask me what he's talking about here, because he's talking about different sex magic rituals and crazy stuff in this chapter called Magical Mannequins. It's very difficult to read, okay? One of Mott's symbols is the moth, the flyer by night who seeks the light by which it is eventually consumed. The moth is the eater in darkness and identical with the vampire force symbolized by the vulture. The eater in the darkness is the eater of the dead in the crypts that contain the mummy, the image of the light and darkness and the re-arisen spirit. The moth and the vulture meet in the Mott cult as equivalent symbols. However, the magical import of the moth as the nocturnal flyer seeking the flame is connected with a magical formula associated with the cult of the dead in the realms of Amenti. And it goes on and on. And that's what it's like trying to read this book. It's very painful. But what I'm referring to here is it talks about the symbols of the moth, which, if you recall, Venetia, the sister, talks to the main character, Oliver, at a certain point in the movie, which I'm not going to say. And she calls him a moth. She's like, you're more of a moth. And then you also know that there's a scene with Venetia and Oliver, which I also will not say, where he says that he's a vampire. So isn't that interesting that both of those symbols show up in this book right when I'm reading it? Is it a synchronicity? I don't know. Take it for what you will. All right. Okay. Hope you enjoyed the show. Stay positive this year, folks. Should we make that the new sign off? Try to keep it. Stay positive. Stay woke.